I'm speaking with Rami Al-Megari. Rami is a journalist based in the Gaza Strip. Rami, welcome once again to No One Is Legal Radio.
Thank you.
Rami, it's been more than 2 months since the beginning of the Israeli attack on Gaza, and you have been one of those frontline voices who's written and spoken out about what is happening on the ground. Can you tell our listeners the current situation as Gaza rebuilds from this attack? Often a lot of attention is focused during the heat of the attack, and now 2 months later, I'm wondering if you could speak to what is happening on the ground as people attempt to rebuild and recover from this incursion by the Israeli occupation forces.
Actually, the war was a sort of a very devastating event, a very devastating episode for the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. And after 2 months, 2 months after the end of this war on Gaza, the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have not witnessed a sort of a great deal of recovery from that war, that the situation is still difficult for the Palestinians, for the residents here. The Israeli closure continues to uphold for the time being, for up to this moment, it is continued, the Israeli closure. Also, Israeli sporadic attacks from time to time continue throughout the region, concurrently with some homemade rocket fire from Gaza into nearby Israeli towns. And while you are speaking with me right now, there was reports about two Palestinians killed into the east of the Maghazi refugee camp in central Gaza Strip, preceded by a similar killing yesterday in the northern Jabalia refugee camp. Two airstrikes in less than 12 hours or less than 24 hours these days. Also, sporadic attacks on the southern parts of the Gaza Strip. Israeli airstrikes continue in the southern parts of Gaza under the pretext of attacking or targeting the smuggling tunnels. The smuggling tunnels that have been used for the past 2 years by Palestinians to bring in basic goods and commodities that are lacking in Gaza because of the Israeli blockade. These tunnels are used for bringing in goods and commodities from Egypt. While Israel says these tunnels are used to smuggle weapons into the Hamas-run territory, the Palestinian population, the Palestinian inhabitants, and the local Palestinians, the ordinary Palestinians, are the ones who are paying a price for the politics, for the conflict that is going on here on the ground. According to latest medical report by a British magazine, a famous British scientific magazine, the health situation in Gaza is alarming, is very devastated, and this requires a sort of reopening of the crossings, allowing patients in and out of Gaza for treatment, allowing more items, more medical items into Gaza, more medical equipment that have broken down throughout the past 2 years. The situation in terms of health is devastating. The situation in terms of the humanitarian aid and the reconstruction of Gaza is still going on. The reconstruction has not yet begun. It's related to some kind of political arguments or political controversy. As you know, this week the Sharm el Sheikh conference, the international donors meeting in Sharm el Sheikh, that discussed how to rebuild Gaza, ended with no concrete results and concrete actions to be taken on the ground for the reconstruction process to begin in the warhead region, while thousands, more than 30,000 Palestinians have been displaced, more than 30,000 Palestinian homes have been displaced, have been devastated, including 4,000 completely, and which means a number of small refugee camps in different parts of the Gaza Strip, particularly in the northern parts, have been recently erected to shelter those who have been displaced. Scores of thousands of Palestinians have been displaced. This is really a very alarming situation, a very devastating situation that requires a sort of real action on the ground for the relief of the Palestinian people, the Palestinian refugees in the Gaza Strip. More than 1.5 million Palestinians are awaiting for the reconstruction, for the rehabilitation to begin on the ground, so they can be relieved out of the catastrophic situation they are still going through. Actually, not only during the war, but also throughout the current times or the time being. The Palestinians are in need for such help, for such assistance, to come in Gaza to take a place on the ground, so the situation can be relieved. This is a sort of a brief description for the humanitarian situation here in Gaza following the recent Israeli 3-week attacks on the coastal strip.
Rami, the Israeli attack was done seemingly to stop Hamas rocket attacks into Israel, as well as to disable or to disrupt the activities of Hamas. When we evaluate what actually happened, it doesn't seem like the Hamas capacity for rocket attacks has stopped, nor does it seem that Hamas has been weakened. So I'm wondering, how do we really understand what happened during those 3 weeks when hundreds, upwards of 2,000 civilians were killed during this incursion? What was the purpose?
Yeah, I understand in one perspective. Only for me, it's all my own understanding, my own analysis. I understand it from one perspective, the perspective that Israel, the recent Israeli war, was a part of continued, unabated Israeli policy of destroying Palestinian buildings, Palestinian homes, Palestinian dreams and aspirations, because it was not the first time that Israel attacks Gaza and destroys so many buildings and houses in the Strip. It was and also killed a mass number of civilians here in the Gaza Strip. However, it was the severest attack on the region in 4 decades. But this recent attack was a part in a series of Israeli attacks, and it's a part of the Israeli policy of collective punishment against the Palestinians. Israelis might thought that they, by striking the Palestinians massively and by killing as large number of civilians as they thought during the recent war, they might thought that the Palestinians will succumb and crush Hamas to the sea or something like that, and reject Hamas, the rulers here in Gaza. But let me just say that the problem does not lie in one group from another. The problem does not lie in Hamas or Fatah. The problem lies in one thing. It's the Israeli occupation's willingness and Israeli occupation's will to destroy any Palestinian dream of having the sort of sovereignty, of having their Qatar territories returned back, and having established their own statehood. This is a sort of destruction, a sort of devastation to the Palestinian dreams, to the Palestinian aspirations, of having their estate put. Let me just briefly remind you with a series of Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip, not in the time of Hamas as we have now, Israelis have frequently attacked Gaza. It was in the time of the Palestinian leader, Yasser Arafat, the late Palestinian leader of Fatah. He was Fatah. And this Palestinian leader initiated peace process with the Israelis. He initiated it with the Israelis. He signed the peace agreement with Israel under the supervision of the United States. And finally, he won, this Palestinian leader won the peace Nobel Prize. He was the winner of the Peace Nobel Prize alongside with current Israeli Prime President Shimon Peres and the late Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. Actually, despite all these facts, Israel finally attacked Arafat, finally attacked Gaza, following the failure of the Camp David talks in 2000. They attacked Gaza and the West Bank. And eventually, they isolated Arafat in one room of his compound in Ramallah. And this Palestinian leader who won the Peace Prize, who was courageous enough and brave enough to sign peace treaties, shortcoming peace treaties and peace accords with Israel, finally was described as a terrorist, as intransigent, as whatever by Israeli leaders at that time. And they killed the Palestinian dream of having their own Palestinian statehood, because according to the Oslo Agreement, the Palestinians and Israelis should have discussed the establishment of a Palestinian state within 5 years, as sort of a transitional state, a stage for 5 years. Then and from 1994 to 2000, to late 1999, Israelis were attacking Gaza, and thus the Palestinian dream of having discussed their own statehood on their own homeland was destroyed by the Israeli attack in 2000, just in the transitional stage of 5 years, has collapsed. I'm just saying this is a sort of example to the Israeli collective punishment policy against the Palestinians. The ones who are not having peace with Israel according to Israel's terms are absolutely called terrorists by Israel. And the Palestinian civilians, the Palestinian population, are paying the heavy price for this Israeli policy line. This is important to note, that it is not the first time that Israel attacks Gaza, that Israel claims it is attacking those who are rejecting peace, those who are resisting the occupation, those who are using violence against Israel. It's not the first time. It is not the first time. So it is a sort of systematic Israeli policy against the Palestinians in order not to allow them to have their own dreams recognized and realized on the ground.
Rami, when we last spoke, which was in January of 2008, this was in the aftermath of what at the time people were calling the border crossing intifada, when Palestinian civilians took matters into their own hands and literally overcame the wall, preventing them from obtaining supplies in Egypt. The sealing of Gaza, the prevention of free movement, this remains an outstanding issue. I'm wondering if you could speak to that border crossing intifada now more than a year later, with the aftermath of the Gaza incursion, with the continued Israeli attacks on Gaza. From all reports, Gaza remains sealed. This remains a main demand of Gazans. Could you speak to that basic demand for free movement and the complicity between Israel and Egypt in preventing the free movement of Palestinians?
This is a sort of complicity, actually. The important thing that the Egyptians have been trying to find the excuses to keep the Rafah terminal crossing closed in front of the Palestinians in Gaza. This is really what is really being offered by Egyptians as an excuse for this is a fragile one. Egyptians say that, always say that this crossing should be reopened in accordance with the past signed agreements, the 2005 U.S. brokered, U.S. backed operation agreement, where Europeans are installed in the crossing to monitor movement. And this, and also the Egyptians always say that this crossing cannot be reopened unless the Abbas authority, the legitimate, between brackets, because the Egyptians consider Abbas as the legitimate Abbas authority in the Ramallah, as the legitimate Palestinian authority. And they say it cannot be reopened unless Abbas and his men return to Gaza and have a sort to find a sort of solution with Hamas, conciliation with Hamas. This is a sort of trying to manipulate. They are trying to bring about some political, fragile political excuses for reopening the Rafah terminal crossing, which is the sole outlet for the Palestinians outside to the outside world. And also, I think that the Egyptians have failed to be a sort of a real backing, a real support to the Palestinian people. However, the Egyptians are reopening the crossing from time to time, and this is not enough, because the reopening of the crossing, just allow small number of people, just patients, just some stranded Palestinians and Egyptians from both sides of the border, and this is really not enough. Not enough, absolutely, for 1.5 million or more than 1.5 million Palestinians to have such a small reopening, such limited reopenings of the crossing. Also, it seems to me that this is a sort of squeezing and depressing Hamas, depressing the rulers of Gaza here, because, as you know, that Abbas is the one who has the best contact with Egypt and other parts of the world, including the United States and other Arab countries, and also Abbas is holding talks with Israel. So Abbas is seen as the legitimate leader of the Palestinians, legitimate authority of the Palestinians, while Hamas is seen and is considered by Egypt as a sort of de facto government in Gaza, that Egypt should deal with as a sort of de facto only. And as I told you, the losers in this political, and this is really very, very, very tough and very complicated political game, is the Palestinian population, who are suffering day by day, minute by minute. This is really the sort of complicity in this situation. I cannot say that Egypt does not want Hamas or something like that, or Egypt does not want to deal with Hamas. I cannot say this absolutely, because Egypt has been a sort of a good mediator between Hamas and Israel from one side, and between Hamas and Fatah from the other side. And now Egypt has been hosting a sort of conciliation efforts and conciliation talks between Hamas and Fatah, and also has been brokering a sort of ceasefire between Hamas and Israel. I cannot say that Egypt does not want Hamas, but I can say one thing, that Egypt needs to relax its policy towards the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, towards the reopening of the Rafah terminal crossing. It should be relaxing. Egypt should be relaxing its policy by allowing more number of people to enter through the Rafah crossing terminal, by allowing more goods and shipments of goods from Gaza into Rafah and Rafah to Gaza. But Egypt can avoid the Gaza Strip, more Israeli strikes on the borderline with Egypt. I mean, Egypt, by allowing more shipments of goods from Gaza into Egypt and vice versa, and allowing more humanitarian aid through the Rafah terminal, of course, and allowing more people to come and forth and back from Gaza to Egypt through the Rafah Crossing terminal, Egypt will be defusing all Israeli executions, all Israeli actions against the Gaza Strip, particularly the repeated Israeli strikes on the Egypt border line because of the smuggling tunnels. Why for the Palestinians continue to smuggle weapons, to smuggle goods and commodities from Egypt into Gaza? Unless the Rafah crossing terminal is reopened regularly? This is a very simple thing. However, it is a complicated issue. But I think the Egyptians need to relax the policy of reopening the Rafah crossing terminal. So I think more relaxing the situation can get much more relaxed, and things will be some sort of better, I think, in the upcoming period, and the region can be avoided more violence and more attacks and more wars. It's really important.
Rami, could you speak now about the situation on the ground in Gaza? You've addressed it earlier, but I'm wondering if you could just speak to the day-to-day, what you see. You've spoken a bit about the political realities between Hamas and Fatah and the complicity of Egypt with Israel. You've spoken quite eloquently to the reasons for why Israel is undertaking this devastation, but speak to the steadfastness and the resilience of Palestinians in resisting all these attempts to break them and to break their resistance.
Actually, the Palestinians are having no choice but to stick to their occupied lands, having no choice but to commit to their own territories, which they do not have any other options, any other places to go to. This is the equation for the Palestinians here in the Gaza Strip. Actually, the Palestinians have no choice but to stick to their homelands, have no choice but to stick fast in their homelands, have no choice but to keep patient and tolerant toward what is really being done against them, because this is the equation of the occupation of the occupied Palestinian people. This is a sort of an occupied people that needs a sort of breakthrough in their situation. So what they need to do is to keep steadfast and keep tolerant and keep patient toward what is going against them actually on the ground from many perspectives. I would like to give you a sort of an example about this. I highlighted this in one of my recent articles about a young married couple who were forced to celebrate their lifetime wedding in a tent in the northern part of Gaza Strip, in the northern Jabalia refugee camp, in a newly erected, actually, refugee camp, after their houses have been devastated by the Israeli recent attacks on Gaza. This is a sort of an indication that the Palestinians have no choice but to keep and to cope with the situation they have, to cope with their circumstances, to keep up and to keep steadfast until their situation is relaxed, until their situation is relieved. The only thing that the Palestinians are just hoping that...
Hello?
They look forward... to having their homes rebuilt, to having their country rehabilitated and reconstructed by genuine help and backing by Arab and international, by Arabs, Islamic nations, international donors, and international peace lovers around the world. That's what they are only hoping, because they need to actually to stick fast and to keep up and to hold up against the Israeli occupation, against the Israeli systematic policies of destruction and killing. This is really what the Palestinians just feel for the time being, and just want to send out a sort of message to the outside world.
Rami Amagari from the Gaza Strip, thank you very much for speaking with us on No One Is Legal Radio.
No problem.